I played basketball. Some of my basketball friends thought they were God's gift to women, okay? And would talk about all the recent conquests of the past weekend. Well, I have three sisters. I certainly would not want anyone talking about my sisters in the way they were talking about these gals. But I didn't have the courage or the love to say something. Didn't have the courage. And there were many other things. The Holy Spirit was searching me and showing me there's lots of ways I was too fearful. I didn't have the courage and love to do the right thing, to do the loving thing. I didn't have that inner courage to do that. God is good. All the time. You can say that, okay? All the time. You know, he's the good shepherd. I mean, he loves it when you're lost. I mean, not really. I mean, he doesn't want you to be lost on purpose, okay, kind of thing. But remember, it says he leaves the 99. He's always looking for those lost ones. And I was finally realizing I was lost. It's good when you realize you're lost a little bit, because then you can be found. So here I am, and in my school, it was a Catholic all-boys school. We all had to make a senior retreat, and we had choices of different ones. And I went on this one because of this one priest. I had never talked to this priest. I had never had him in class, but we would have mass in the gym, you know, with 2,000 boys. It would be crazy. But this one priest, when he preached, he talked about Jesus in a way that seemed so real to him. I mean, it's like he just, you know, he had been talking to Jesus 5 minutes ago, and he just came over here to do mass, you know, kind of thing. I mean, it felt that way. And that's what I remember from when I made my first communion, that Jesus just seemed so real to me. And I kind of pushed him aside a little bit because I didn't want to seem different and too religious and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I went because of this priest. And on the retreat, oh boy, Lord have mercy on us. We were asked to do a sharing affirmation activity. This was only about 15 people, okay, 15 guys, you know, with a few teachers. And I hated those activities. You know when they put you in groups and make you share? You know, I hate that. When I was in high school, I hated that. Now I became a teacher and do that to people all the time, all right? But I hated it back then. I hated it. And so we were asked to share what we saw as the good qualities in each other. And everyone was pretty careful and pretty honest. They didn't say anything that was earth-shaking until. So when they came to me, you know, I didn't like this. So I'm kind of, you know. And they said things like, you know, he's a good student now. He's got good grades. He's a pretty good athlete. He's kind of quiet. Takes a while to get to know him. And all those things were true. And finally, they came to one guy, and we were not close friends. We had always been in the same homeroom because my last name is H and he's G. And what happened was I found out he had gone on a retreat called TEC, Teens Encounter Christ. And on this retreat, his faith had gotten stronger. And he had seen my sophomore year, I was the homeroom president. And our class was a real difficult class, and the teacher was a religious brother who was real difficult, and they couldn't stand each other, and I was always in the middle trying to keep them from killing each other, you know, kind of thing. And so I never ran for any office after that. I hated it. I said, oh man, I'm not going to run for office. I have to go through this again. Well, he did see that. He noticed that. But anyways, for whatever reason, he said, Bob Hogan is more like Jesus than anyone I know. And when he said that, you know, all this stuff had been building up in me ever since the summer. All this stuff, the Holy Spirit searching me out here, okay? When he said that, I just started weeping. I mean, not the little ones, you know, I mean the big, heavy tears, weeping stuff. It just came out of me. And then we said, well, let's go on to the next person. No, they didn't do that. Okay, what happened was we finished after a little bit more, and this priest that was there, the one I had gone because of him, came up and asked to talk with me. And basically, I told him the story I just told you, what had happened to me since the summer. And he said, it sounds like you're trying to be a Christian without Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I said, whoa, Father, you lost me. What are you talking about here? He says, well, you want to be like Jesus. You want to act like Jesus. But the whole point of the Christian faith is we can't by ourselves. It's not just imitating him from a distance. It's inviting Jesus to live in you. And he gives you the Holy Spirit that allows you to love like he loves and to grow in that love inside. And I remember I went to confession and he prayed over me a little bit, and I didn't know what praying over was, kind of thing, but nothing big happened at that moment. But that evening we were having a social because we were going to be ending the retreat the next day, and I went off by myself, and I remember we had these cots we were sleeping on. I kneeled down at the side of the cot and I just said, Jesus, I don't remember the exact words, it's a long time ago, but basically I said, Jesus, I know I can't do it myself, I do want you to live in me. You're the one that's always touched me more than anyone else ever. And I do want you to live inside of me. And I know I need the Holy Spirit of strength more than myself. And that's when I was, those of you involved in the charismatic renewal from low the term, that's where I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water for the forgiveness of sins, but the one coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit makes alive your faith. When I made that prayer, a couple things happened. One was, there was a tremendous release. I had all this anxiety. It was like I had a valve on my heart, and Jesus turned it, and it was just like, tremendous release of all that stuff that had been building up. And then secondly, I just knew Jesus was there. There was no doubt in my mind whatsoever. In fact, from that day on, ever since, if I stop and realize, and just, you know, sometimes I'm not thinking about it, so I'm not focused enough, but if I focus, I always sense that. And that's not special for me. The Holy Spirit wants to do that for everyone. The Holy Spirit wants every one of you to experience Jesus. I mean, there's times you're not focused enough, so you may not feel it every moment. But every one of you, the Spirit's the one who makes Jesus alive for us. And the priest said, it'd be good if you went home and started reading the New Testament. And he said, you got a Bible. And I said, well, there's one in the closet. It's been there a couple years. Sophomore year, we had New Testament. So I dug it out, and I opened it up. And the first thing I opened up to Galatians, and I didn't even know what a Galatian was. You know, was an animal, a vegetable, or a mineral? You know, I didn't have any idea. I opened up, the first thing I read is the passage that says, it is not I who live, but Christ Jesus in me. I live a life of faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I read that, I said, that's just what happened to me. That's just what happened to me. It's not I who live, but Christ Jesus living in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, God wants us to see all of this grace that he has for us. He wants us to truly experience the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't want to stop there. You know, in all the years I've worked with so many groups and prayer groups and youth and young adults, and lots of retreats, there's so many retreats that people go to and they're uplifted and they have kind of a feeling, they feel better for a while, but it doesn't always last. It doesn't always stay with them. And some of them keep trying to relive that experience. Oh, I'm going to go hear this preacher. I'm going to go to this healer. I'm going to go to this person here. I'm going to go to this retreat and I want to experience that same thing I felt before. And brothers and sisters, that's not mainly what God wants to do. God doesn't want to just give you an experience of his presence. Those are good. Be thankful for them. Those are wonderful. He wants to teach you a lifestyle in the Holy Spirit. He wants to teach you how to walk in every part of your life with the Holy Spirit. Everything being transformed. We like that in our statement here, we talk about the full role of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm going to talk about this weekend, as four things we see in the Scripture. One, it's experiencing union with God. I'm going to say more about that in a moment. Secondly, it's inner transformation leading to holiness. The Holy Spirit's the one who transforms us interiorly, as he was doing all that summer after my bout with the locker. He was showing me what needed to be transformed. This is wonderful when God does that. This is wonderful when you let the Holy Spirit teach you interiorly. Thirdly, it's ministry empowered by the charisms. Charisms means spiritual gift. It's the Greek word in the New Testament for ministry, for evangelization and service. That God wants to teach us how not just to try to help people just on our own power, but with spiritual gifts, where we experience a power and a love and a wisdom that's more than ourselves. And I want to help you understand how you can experience that more and serve others with the Holy Spirit working through you. And finally, the Holy Spirit builds community. We are the body of Christ. We are individually parts of one another, the Bible tells us. And the Spirit wants to teach us that I cannot become fully mature as a follower of Jesus without being part of you. And every one of us in some way needs to be part of some kind of community in Christ. There's lots of different ways. Not everyone's called to the same thing. But if we're not part of a community, you will not grow into the full maturity in Christ. If there isn't some way that you're growing in community. So what we're going to do is look at these four areas and how we can grow in it and let the Holy Spirit help us to grow in these things. Steve Clark was a very early leader in the Charismatic Renewal, the first Life in the Spirit seminar. He was really the main author of it. Wrote this in a recent book he wrote called Charismatic Spirituality. He said, probably everyone familiar with the Charismatic Renewal movement would agree that it has been concerned with baptism in the Spirit and spiritual gifts. In the early days of the movement, these were the two most common topics of discussion and seemed to define the renewal itself. But there is a more helpful way of defining charismatic renewal. Charismatic renewal is best understood as a renewal in the full work of the Holy Spirit. That work includes baptism in the Spirit and spiritual gifts, but these can be only understood well in the context of the complete work of the Holy Spirit. They are not supposed to stand out by themselves. And I agree with Steve completely. In fact, one of those things you can get free out there is this little leaflet. If you want a summary of what I'm going to talk about all this weekend, grab one of the full roll of the Holy Spirit. You'll get a little summary of what I'm going to talk to you about all weekend in that leaflet. What he's saying is, we need to experience the Holy Spirit and grow in union with God, but we need to be transformed in the Holy Spirit. We need to let the Spirit work through us to minister to others, and we need to be built together as a community. And as we're living all of those parts of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the abundant life that God has for us becomes more real, becomes more alive in us. Seek this grace this weekend. Seek this grace. This is good stuff. This is stuff that God wants to unfold this. And it's important for our prayer groups, because sometimes our prayer groups, you know, we come together for our good music and things, but people don't have a vision for a lifestyle in the Holy Spirit. A vision for how do I continue to grow and be transformed and grow together and serve in the grace of the Holy Spirit. And so it's important that we're able to do that. You remember the prayer, many of you know it, repeat it after me. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful. And kindle in them. What? Fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit. And they shall be recreated. And you shall? All right. You guys know that one. That's good. That's good. Stop and think what we're saying. First, we're saying, come. Every day, come. Every day you should wake up and say, I don't want to do anything without the Holy Spirit. I don't want to make any decisions without the Holy Spirit. Jesus told me it's better that he leaves us because he's going to send us an advocate. An advocate means your partner, your counselor, your comforter, your consoler, the one who walks with you through everything, your best bud, okay, who's there by your side and everything. You know, as we learn to consciously live in union with the Spirit, what happens? It says in the Scripture, the Spirit in our hearts cries out, Abba, Father. Did you ever wake up in the morning and said, Daddy! Remember a little kid, you know, I mean, some of you may have had daddies who had some problems, so it wasn't as easy for you some. But you know, we should all be able to wake up in the morning and say, Daddy! You know, like when Daddy comes home from work, well, Daddy's up in heaven, he's coming to visit you this morning. Daddy! He's Abba. Abba means Papa, Daddy. They were shocked when Jesus used that word, because it didn't seem formal enough for God. But that you can experience that you are a child of God who can just say, Daddy, Daddy. It says no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. To really know, and that's what happened on my retreat. I mean, I love Jesus. I wanted to imitate him. I was inspired by him. But I hadn't experienced that he has already won the victory of love. The song we sang earlier, what can separate us from the love of God? Can pain or persecution? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Jesus who has loved us. And to know the victory of Jesus and that he truly is the one who's been given all authority from the Father, the name above all names, Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Prince of Peace, all authority as one of his boys as the king. So he goes there, and first he sees the oldest. The oldest is this big, strong-looking dude, you know, kind of thing. And Samuel says, oh, Lord, he'd make a great king, you know. Kind of, I'm ad-libbing a little bit, but basically that's the message. He'd make a great king. And the Holy Spirit says, don't look at his appearance, for I look at the heart. That's what the Holy Spirit does, brothers and sisters. We so often just look at appearance. We look at outside things. Boy, the Holy Spirit makes you understand yourself, makes you understand others. He is such a great partner. He helps you to understand life. He's there. Jesus said he's going to teach you all things. He's the Spirit of truth who will lead you into all truth. Why don't we spend more time with this Holy Spirit? I can't understand why. I can't understand why. So anyways, so he comes, and then finally he goes through seven sons, and God keeps saying, nope, not that one. No, not that one. Holy Spirit, he just listens to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit saying, no, not that one. He says, do you have any more? And he says, yeah, the youngest is out taking care of the sheep. Very symbolic there, okay, because he's going to be the good shepherd, okay? He's going to be the king. He brings in David. As soon as he sees David, the Holy Spirit, whew, that's the one. That's the one. Takes out his oil, pours it over his head, and what happens? It says the Holy Spirit rushed upon him. Rushed upon him. Now, what is the result of this? Okay, we saw it with Moses. The Holy Spirit came to give leaders the ability to lead well and care for the people well. That's the Holy Spirit does that. Here, it's showing the Holy Spirit's the one who helps us to see things as they really are. Remember, 1 Samuel only saw the big-looking dude. He should be the king. But as he listened to the Holy Spirit, he saw things as they really are. What happens right after this is the story of David and Goliath. Remember, David's just a little young teenager. He's not even supposed to be there fighting. But he decides to go there because a couple of his brothers are in the army. And you know the story. Goliath, 6'6", big dude, and he challenges them all. And everyone's afraid. Because why are they afraid? Because they're looking on the outside. Big guy, warrior, look at that sword. But David comes along, and David has been anointed by the Holy Spirit. Don't start any day without asking the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because every big dude you see, you'll say, ay, 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 I don't want to deal with that, okay? But if you're anointed with the Holy Spirit, you'll see it real differently. What David sees is, man, this guy's in trouble. He's mocking God's people, and therefore he's mocking God. He doesn't know who he's dealing with. And David is like, this guy's in trouble. You see the difference, brothers and sisters. Every day that difference can be in our life. We face stuff and we either say, this is way too big, this is too much, and we either give up or we get mad at everyone else for giving us so much trouble, or we welcome the Holy Spirit who helps us to see like how God can work even in this situation. And just like I didn't have a courage or a love enough without the grace of the Holy Spirit, and you got to keep growing in it. It's not just a one-shot syringe, you know, kind of thing, but it's or anointing. But he wants you to help you to grow with it. So, you know the story. David, you know, he takes a slingshot, hits him in the head, knocks him out, cuts off his head. Okay, it's gory. But the point here is the Holy Spirit's anointing releases fear and helps us to see the truth of the matter. It's so important. He is an anointed one. We then see in Isaiah 11 and 61. There's more than these two, but these are the two major ones. Isaiah 11 says, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse. Jesse was who? David's father, okay? So, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him because he's the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed of the Holy Spirit. The idea is that eventually this Messiah, this full anointed one. There's all these little anointed priests, prophets, and kings, but the final Messiah will come, and when that comes, all of us will be able to receive the Holy Spirit. And so it says, he will not judge by hearsay. He will not judge by appearance, but he will judge with wisdom, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of power and fear of the Lord will be upon him. And then it says, when he's there, the wolf and the lamb will lie down together. And the lion and the, I always get them mixed up, but you know, it's kind of a ferocious animal and a, you know, unferocious animal, whatever, kind of thing. I mean, animals that normally would eat each other, basically, okay? He's saying, when you let Jesus, the anointed one, the anointed one in you, he will help you to reconcile people and go into the worst situations and be able to help them get work it out. Because you know what usually happens when a wolf and a lamb comes together? You usually get lamb chops, right? Okay, that's a bad joke. I'm sorry. All right, but wonderful. And then Isaiah 61 is what Jesus quotes at the beginning of his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. He's the Christ, to bring good news to the poor, liberty to captives, sight to the blind, to announce a year of favor from the Lord. And then Jesus, after he read it, sat down and said, this is fulfilled in your hearing. Which means what? I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. I am the fulfillment of this prophecy. It goes on, then Ezekiel, beautiful things about the Holy Spirit. He says, I'll take the stone out of your heart. I'll give you a new heart and place a new spirit within you. It has the image of the dry bones, you know, all these bones he sees. And God says, breathe in them, call the Spirit into them, and whatever's dead will be brought back to life. And has the beautiful image of the temple and this living water coming out of the temple. And Jesus uses that image in John's Gospel, that the Holy Spirit will be like a fountain of living water welling up in you, purifying you and refreshing you and giving you new life inside. Beautiful images of the Holy Spirit. I always say the Holy Spirit's in the newness business. He's not in the carpentry business. He's not in the cooking business. He's in the newness business. Give him something old and he'll make it new. Every day we should give him whatever's feeling old in you. I don't just mean age-wise, okay? Okay. And he makes it new. He makes all things new. Then finally in Joel chapter 2, end of chapter 2, beginning of chapter 3, comes that beautiful quote that says, when the Messiah comes, the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, from your littlest to your oldest. And that's what Peter quotes at Pentecost, that this is now fulfilled in our hearing. So you sense the Old Testament is all preparing us for an anointed one. They're wanting us to be ready because this anointed one's coming, because this is going to fulfill God's purpose. Now what happens in the New Testament, real quickly here? The New Testament, every major event of Jesus' life has the Holy Spirit. Every single one. And we don't realize this. We don't see this. So that's why I want you to see it and realize this, okay? First of all, let's see. Jesus was conceived through Mary and the Holy Spirit, okay? He didn't come into this world except through the Holy Spirit. Right after that happens, Mary visits Elizabeth. And there's this Holy Spirit breakthrough. Because Jesus is now here, the anointed one, the Christ. Elizabeth is filled with prophecy. Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? You know, how does she know? Mary doesn't look pregnant. She just got the word a few days ago, okay? Maybe a week or two, okay? She doesn't look pregnant, you know? She got an anointed Holy Spirit prophecy word. And then Mary responds with her amazing prophetic prayer in the Holy Spirit. We call the Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. You know, it says, when Mary came, it said, Elizabeth says, the child in my womb leapt for joy. The Holy Spirit made John the Baptist in the womb know the presence of the Messiah. How wonderful this is. As we walk with the Holy Spirit, he shows us all kinds of stuff we would never see before. We would never notice. We would never understand. Let me jump ahead with one story. I think I was going to tell this tomorrow, but I will tell today. You know, as we learn to let the Holy Spirit be our partner, he teaches us in everything. I mean, if you ever go to a movie, and after you've been through about half, you say, oh, this is the dumbest, stupidest, worst movie. I don't know why I came to this thing. You know what you should do? Talk to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, this is the dumbest, stupidest movie. I know I shouldn't really even be here, but show me something that'll be good from this movie that I need to hear. And sure enough, something will happen. One phrase, one event, he'll tell you something. He'll show you something. I was watching a few years ago now, the Olympics. Remember, I was a girls' volleyball coach, so I was watching the finals of the women's beach volleyball, okay, only because I needed to learn some things, okay, for this, all right. All right. You remember the U.S. ladies won the championship, if some of you remember that 3 years ago. But right before the finals, they had talked to his coach, and the coach said he gave him three words. He said, I just told him three words. Battle, believe, and breathe. Now, as a person that played a lot of sports and coached, I understood what he was saying. Anytime you're in a competition, for a certain time, you're not doing as well. It's easy to get down on yourself. And you got to battle through those feelings. You can't, if you start giving up, you lose your energy and you don't play as well. So you got to battle through those difficult times. Battle. Believe. Believe in all the work you've done. Believe in your preparation. Believe in those things. Look to that. Don't look to you're struggling at this moment. And breathe. What that means is when we get a little anxious, our breathing gets quick and short. And we don't get enough oxygen. So you got to make sure you're getting enough oxygen in. So they've got the energy to do that. So I knew what he was saying. But the Holy Spirit said, no. There's something much more important you need to hear, Bob Hogan. Something much more important that you need to hear. In everything in your life, there's going to be challenges. I never promised you I'd take all the challenges away. In fact, I told you just the opposite. You read Jesus closely. But you've got to battle through those times. You got to pray. You may not feel like it. You may feel weak at first, but if you pray and you believe in what I've done for you, then you'll get through it. So you got to battle inside. You got to believe in what Jesus has already accomplished for you. He has already won the victory. He already has all authority. And so I need to start believing, not in my weakness, which is plenty, and not in my confusion, which can be plenty, but I believe in what Jesus has done. If he's calling me to this, then he will make it happen. And finally, breathe. After Jesus rose from the dead, what did he do? He appeared to the apostles, and what does it say? He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The word spirit in both Hebrew and Greek is the same word as breath or wind. So that's why the Holy Spirit is obviously seen as both the breath of God, also the wind of God. And so he says, you know, battle, believe, and breathe. Call on the Holy Spirit in these things. And the Lord was teaching me something. Brothers and sisters, my goal for you, more than anything else this weekend, is that you grow in the sense of the Holy Spirit is not just, you know, that the dove that's usually on the top of things up there somewhere in churches, but that he's your personal friend given to you by Jesus. Jesus says, I am leaving so I can give you this personal advocate. My closest friend can become your closest friend. And that you really learn to let him be part of every single thing in your life. So, Jesus doesn't come into this world except by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus starts his ministry, let's see, when was that? He went to the Jordan, remember? And he said, John baptized me. And he said, no, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. He says, no, do this, because Jesus is representing all of us humans. And you know what happens? The sky parted. The image is that when the clouds are there, you can't see the sun. The sun doesn't come through straight. When the clouds part, mean now you and God are in direct contact. No clouds in between. No clouds in between. And the Spirit came and rested on him like a dove to experience a presence that you're not alone, a partnership. And then he heard the words, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You begin to experience that you are loved. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to you. How wonderful. God wants you to experience this deep union with God through this relationship with the Spirit. That you say, Daddy, Abba. That you know Jesus is your Lord, your victor, your loving victor. And you have this partnership with the Holy Spirit that you're never alone. And that he's teaching you about all kinds of stuff and helping you understand the inside of things, the inside of life. How wonderful that is. So Jesus' ministry only starts after he's received the Holy Spirit in his baptism. Then he goes to the desert, and I'll say more about that tomorrow, and then he starts his ministry. Only after he's baptized in the Holy Spirit, he's baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus then, like I said, at the Last Supper before he's going to die, what does he talk about? It's better that I leave you because I need to send you the Holy Spirit, this advocate. The whole goal of my life, you really can say the goal of, obviously the goal of Jesus' life was to die for us, to free us from our sins, yes. To rise again to show that he can overcome everything, yes. But the ultimate goal, all that was so that he could send the Holy Spirit. That is the final purpose. I mean, Jesus' name basically summarized what he does. Jesus basically means Savior. He gets you out of the mess. Christ then means the Anointed One, the one who fills you with the life of the Holy Spirit. How wonderful. Don't fall short. Don't just let him save you. Let him fill you with all that he has for us. And let us be reminders in the church. So many people have no understanding of what the Spirit of God can mean in their lives and to be able to enter into that gift. We then know that Jesus then, I told you when he was resurrected, one of the first things he says is he breathes on them and gives them the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. He's getting ready to go back to heaven. He says, even now, yeah, you're excited, you saw me risen, still don't do anything yet. Still don't do anything yet. Wait and pray until what? You receive power from on high, which is the Holy Spirit. So Jesus then says, the church doesn't start until the Holy Spirit comes. You see how important the grace of the Holy Spirit is. Important of knowing who the Christ is. The Holy Spirit allows us into this deep, personal union with God. That we know we're never alone. That God is Abba, Daddy. Jesus is our loving Victor Lord. And we have a partner, the Holy Spirit. Remember what it says in 2 Timothy 1? Paul says to Timothy about the Spirit. He says, the Spirit I gave, the Spirit that you received when I laid hands on you was not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. And so don't let fear control you now. Call on that Holy Spirit. Call on his grace. All right. What I like to do, and then we see in the Acts of the Apostles, they continue to live in the Holy Spirit. We can say much more. Living in the Holy Spirit. Let me finish with this. Catholic charismatic prayer groups have a harder time than other kind of prayer groups. I mean, my doctoral studies is in Marian theology, so I work with a lot of Marian groups and Divine Mercy groups and all kinds of groups. And those are good. I say Divine Mercy prayer every day. I say Rosary very frequently. They're great things. But it's easy to be in a Rosary group. Once you learn the Rosary, you don't have to prepare for it. Once you learn it, you got it, right? It's easy to be in a Divine Mercy group. Once you learn the prayers for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world, then you just come. You don't have to prepare for it. Once you know it, you got it, right? Charismatic groups are much tougher. But brothers and sisters, they can take you deep if you really understand what you're called to and you really choose to enter into this full grace of the Holy Spirit, full living in the Holy Spirit. Charismatic prayer groups don't work unless the members have a daily prayer life. Sorry. They just don't work. Because they're not as planned it helps if you have a real good music ministry. That bless you guys. Thank you for being here. Good music ministry really helps us. That's a wonderful blessing. But even that won't last forever. I know a lot of people that they come to prayer groups for years, but they still don't have a consistent daily prayer life. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you don't, but you know. The Holy Spirit knows and you know. This is so important that you have a daily... You know the Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our monthly bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive... Oh, no, wait a second. Give us this day our weekly bread as we forgive those... No. It's, what is it? Give us this day our daily bread. Now that image goes back again to the Old Testament in Moses' times. Remember when they had no food and they're grumbling? Okay. And God gives them what? Manna. This little flaky stuff that they crushed and made into flour and made into bread. And it'll be there every morning, but God said something to them. He said, only take enough for one day at a time, except for the day before the Sabbath. Then you can take two because you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath, okay? He says, if you take more, he says, I'm testing them. I'm testing them. Well, why is he doing that? You know, our tendency is, and we treat God kind of like a candy machine, you know, kind of thing. You know, when I want a candy, let me put my how much is candy these days now? It's up to 75 cents, $1, $1.50, who knows, kind of thing. And I get my candy. Thank you, God, for my candy. I'll see you next time I want a candy, okay? Kind of thing. You know, and we don't do it that foolishly, but we have that tendency. If God gave us a month's worth, we would talk to God how often? About once a month. Okay, God, I'm empty now. Can I have some more? And so God was testing him because he wants a relationship with us. He wants union with you. You are so precious to him. You know, he loves your voice. You may say, I'm the worst singer in the whole world, but he loves your voice. He really does. Every morning he doesn't hear your voice, he gets sad. He loves your voice. He loves hearing your voice. Sing for me something. No, I'm just kidding. I'll get you on the stuff. He loves your voice. Every day, God gives you everything you need, but only one day at a time. The trouble is, we get upset because we're wanting a month's worth or a week's worth. And he never promised you that. He said, I will give you everything you need, but only one day at a time. What does that mean? It means I need to pray every day, right? Every day I need to let him give me some daily bread, the daily things that I need. You know, our Father's beautiful. You can talk about it in terms of six P's. You start by saying, Father, it's personal. All prayer should be personal. That's why you got to know Jesus personally, the Holy Spirit personally, the Father personally, our beautiful triune one God. So we always start prayer personally, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, personally. Secondly, praise. Hallowed be thy name. We praise God. Praise has got to be focused in our life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Plan. God's plan needs to be first in our minds. Not my plans, but God's plan needs to be first in my lives. Fourth, provision, daily bread. He'll provide for you, but make sure you're in a personal relationship with him where you're praising him and you're wanting his will, his plan before anything else, and then he will provide for you. Fifth one is purification. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Tomorrow I'm going to talk more about transformation and purification. And finally, protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, I want to say a little offshoot here, but I want to say this because I've just been doing some training for deliverance ministry, and this is a very important, wonderful ministry, but you need to understand, protection is last. You know, if mainly in people's prayer, they're always just saying, God, protect me from this, God, protect me from that, you haven't understood it all yet, right? Protection is last. God wants protection, but that's last. And it shouldn't be your main focus. That's why we shouldn't mainly be thinking about the devil. The devil exists, and we've got to deal with him. But that shouldn't be your focus. If you're in the right relationship with God, okay, personal, and you're praising, and you're seeking his plan, and his daily provision, and letting him purify you, protection will happen on. Protection will happen automatically. So, on one hand, we don't need the reality of the devil. We need some good spiritual warfare, but don't get so crazy about all that. Some people do. If the other ones are in order, it'll all go the way you want to. I'm going to give you an approach to a daily prayer life. It's not the only way. I teach a whole class to college students on the history of spiritual life, so there's many approaches. But this is a way I think can help you be open to the Holy Spirit in your prayer. And I give it letters, so you got to see if you remember. I'll quiz you tomorrow morning. P-Q-S-C-I. Can you say that? P-Q-S-C-I. P, praise. Again, it's wonderful. We have wonderful praise music and wonderful people who help us sing it. But you're not really praising if you're only singing when you're with a group. If you're not praising on your own, developing an attitude of praise in your own prayer life, then you're probably getting more, you're praising some, but you're more getting into the music, and you're more kind of, you're liking the feel of everyone being together. I always tell people at our prayer meetings, why do you stop praising when the music stops? The goal is not to sing with the music, the goal is to praise God. The music helps us to praise God. So you shouldn't stop when the music stops, right? But that's because we don't praise God on our own. So we need the music so we can praise. And believe me, music is wonderful. But it's a shame that that statement that, you know, singing is praying twice, because it's only praying twice if you really know you're praying, okay? You can be singing all kind and not really praying, okay? So it's too bad that quote gets misunderstood sometimes. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you. They don't have one out there, but if you can, you can send away from them. Get one of those leaflets out there. They have a bunch of free leaflets from the National Service Committee. I also did one on praise and worship. I invite you. You can get this online. You can look it up, kind of thing. Praise and worship is both a gift and it's work. It talks in the Bible about offering a sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice means always work, okay? And so if you want to come to a person that has an attitude of praise, remember what it says, Paul says, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Well, brothers and sisters, that just doesn't happen automatically. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do that. In the early church had a prayer called the Jesus Prayer, and I love the Jesus Prayer. I use it sometimes, that you just kind of repeat a simple prayer with Jesus' name to get into his presence. But praise really can help you. Read the Psalms. Psalm 95, come let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us greet him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to him. The Mass is filled with praise. At our church, they always know when Father Hogan says Mass, because I said, don't you dare say those praise songs as if they're some kind of meditation, okay? I mean, I do it gentler than that, but they know me by now, so I can kid with them. But when you say the holy, holy, it's not, holy, holy, holy. It's holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna is a cheer. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So the glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. And peace to his people on earth. We praise you. We bless you. We worship you. We glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. You alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. Do you get the picture? You know, praise opens you, and something you got to stick with it. Some mornings I wake up and I don't feel like praising God. So I don't always feel like it. And so I have to offer a sacrifice of praise. But I know if I stick with it, at some point the Holy Spirit, my partner, comes in and takes over, and praise becomes such a joy. And you got to kind of learn a language of praise. Again, if you go to the National Service Committee, I put a little folder together called Praise and Worship Starter Sheet. And basically it's a lot of psalms and the stuff from Mass, and start off with God as three persons. Father, I praise you. You are my creator. You have made me your child. Thank you for loving me and giving me life. Thank you for sending your beloved son, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. I praise you. You died for my sins. You gave your life for me. I want to follow you. Thank you for calling me. Thank you that you are Lord and Master, and we are more than conquerors because of you who loved us. Praise to you, Holy Spirit, power from on high, fountain of living water, my comforter, my counselor, my advocate, live in me, live through me. Let us go into this world with you. I praise you, I bless you, I worship you, I love you. Again, learning some language takes some work. You got to read the Bible, read the Psalms, you got to know who Jesus is. So it does take some work. It's a combination of, it's like spiritual gifts. It says, strive eagerly for spiritual gifts. Strive means work. Eagerly means opening yourself to the gift. And so praise, brothers and sisters. Thank God for all the good music. Praise God for that. But learn to enter into an attitude of praise. When you get an attitude of praise, then you do begin to start rejoicing always. And you start giving thanks in all circumstances because you know Jesus is Master. Every time you praise, you're evangelizing yourself. You're telling yourself the good news of who the Father is, of who Jesus is, of who the Holy Spirit is, who you are because of that. So you're evangelizing yourself as you do that. And as you praise God, you're giving him the honor that he's due. It says real clearly, I quote here from the Catechism here somewhere. Yeah, let's get this one. This is a good one. This is from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Praise is the form of prayer that recognizes most immediately that God is God. He is deserving of all praise. It lauds God. Loud is the Latin word for praise. Lauds L-A-U-D-S, God for his own sake and gives him glory, quite beyond what he does, but simply because he is. I mean, we do it because of what he's done for us, but more than that, simply because he is. By praise, the Spirit is joined to our spirits to bear witness that we are children of God. As you praise God, the Holy Spirit comes and you begin to know who you really are. You begin to see life from God's eyes. You look at Goliath and you say, he's in trouble. You're not overcome by those external things because of the Spirit. You're able to see, no, it's not just the big son of Jesse. It's the little youngest shepherd kid, okay? He's the one. Praise embraces the other forms of prayer and carries them toward him who is its source and goal. Praise embraces every other form of prayer. Asking, seeking, intercession, contemplation. Praise embraces all that. Sometimes people get in arguments about, well, contemplative prayer is a higher form of prayer. But brothers and sisters, it's real clear in Scripture. And that's why P-Q-S-C-I. When you really praise God, and you spend some time to be in your prayer really praising God, and you use songs, you know, as well as just praising him, you got to grow in it, but seek to grow in it, ask for the gift, and also read some things about praise. Q is quieting. As you praise God, at a certain point, the Holy Spirit, you really sense, just like Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit comes and rests upon you. And he quiets your inner spirit, where you can have now an inner attentive. It's really a contemplative state. It's a state of inner quiet in God's presence. That's what contemplation basically is. And so praise is a great help to come into contemplation. And real contemplation always should lead back to praise. You're so touched that God would be present to you. And just that simple, loving presence that you just stay in it. But eventually, it's got to overflow in jubilation. In praise. And so the two always work hand in hand. You can't separate the two from each other. It's very, very clear in Scripture. Okay, praise, quieting. When you quiet, sometimes the Holy Spirit will just give you a sense of his presence and he'll say, hey, just let me be quiet in you. And you don't have to go any further. Just let that loving presence fill you, that you're not alone. It just heals you, he loves you, he gives you peace. Sometimes he just says, stay with that. But usually, he quiets you for a while to focus you. And then you get some topping. That's PQSC. SC is Scripture and Conversation. That's the way you communicate. There are two major ways you communicate with God. Read some Scripture. Scripture is the living Word of God. The more you know Scripture, the more you will hear the Holy Spirit. Because this is God's Word. And so the more every day you're reading it, and just not don't just read a ton, read a little bit and really go over. Pray, say, Holy Spirit, what is it saying here? Help me understand what it meant then, and what does it mean for me now? And really talk to the Holy Spirit about, if something hits you, just stop. Repeat it 3 or 4 times and say, what are you trying to say to me, God? What are you trying to show me here? And as you learn to do that with Scripture, he'll be doing that in all kinds of things in your life. Different events, things people say will hit you, and the Holy Spirit will teach you a lesson you need at that moment as you learn to do this. Fourthly, conversation. In today's world where, God bless all the different apparitions. I love you, Mary, for appearing. Thank you. Don't get mad at me. Okay, she's not mad at me. But people get carried away sometimes. They say, but I got to say my 3 rosaries every day and my Divine Mercy Chaplet and the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel and the prayer to St. Dimpha or whatever kind of thing. And, you know, I'm not against any of those prayers. Okay? Don't get mad at me. And Mary, she knows. She's not mad at me. Okay? I study a lot about her. But if you're not just talking with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you're not missing something very important. Some people are so busy saying prayers that they never just talk to God. I mean, you all know that. Y'all have done that sometimes, right? Right? I've done it too. Okay, we have to say, priests have to say all these prayers, you know, and they're good, they're Bible stuff and everything, but you got to just talk with them about your life. And it's not like you get a big revelation every moment, but you begin to sense. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. As you're praising God, letting God quiet your spirit, getting the Holy Spirit come upon you, you're reading Scripture, you're talking with God about your life, you begin to sense what he's saying to you. You begin to sense the Spirit's movements inside of you. Talk to him about your joys, your sorrows, what you need, your strength. Lord, why am I feeling what I'm feeling? Lord, why is everyone else acting the way they're acting? You know, all those things that usually, I mean, we spend hours in our mind going through those things. You know, why doesn't he ask me out? Why doesn't he ask me out? Why doesn't he ask me out? You know, should I wear something prettier? You know, we go through our mind with all these things, trying to figure out all this stuff about ourselves and everyone else for hours and hours and hours, and we can't go to sleep at night. Invite the Holy Spirit. Talk to him about those things, and Jesus. And don't see how he begins to form you. And finally, I is intercession. It's okay to have a list of things you pray for every day. That's a nice thing to have. But if you want a prayer open to the Holy Spirit, say, now after you've really been in God's presence through praise, quieting, scripture, intercession, and you may do this too differently. For me, my morning prayer time focuses more on praise and quieting and usually praying with scripture. Sometimes scripture readings I have to do for Mass, but other scriptures that God's been put in my heart. Or it could be a topic that God's been showing me that he wants me to pray with and to do that. And then the afternoon is usually my time of conversation. I just talk to the Lord about my day. And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I cannot come to the end of the day without talking to God. Because, you know, I'm just, by the end of the day, you know, there's always frustrating things. You know, he read about I'm being impatient. You know, I'm not always impatient, but, you know, I am impatient sometimes, okay? And if I don't talk to God, my impatience is really going to be bad. But the Holy Spirit, one of his fruits is patience, right? So when I talk to him, he calms me down. Okay, this is what we can do here. And he makes me remember all the blessings of this day. So often we don't remember the blessings. And we're not thankful because we're so caught up in the stresses and the difficulties. And the Holy Spirit helps us. When you intercede, then, yes, have your regular list, that's okay, but say, how do you want me to intercede, Holy Spirit? Is there some person or some particular thing in my life or someone else's life that you want me to pray for? And listen, and see if a person, a thought, something comes to mind. Because when you are interceding as the Spirit leads you, because remember what Romans 8 says, we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes within us. And so, and the Spirit knows what God wants. I don't always know what God wants, okay? The Spirit does. So if you ask him, how do you want me to pray, you will experience more answered prayers. I mean, God will answer your prayers otherwise too, because he's just a good God, okay? But the more you're asking the Holy Spirit how you are to intercede, what is the block? You're frustrated with this person. And you say, Holy Spirit, why is this person struggling? The Holy Spirit shows you they've got fear. They've got, they're hurt. And they said, pray that their hurt can be healed, that their pride can be let go of, that their jealousy can get. He shows you how to intercede, and you doors begin to open because of this grace of the Holy Spirit. All right, brothers and sisters. Tonight, we try to just say, let's see this fullness of what the Holy Spirit can be. Started by mainly union with God. And that's always the first thing. It's always the most important thing. I mean, later we're going to talk about ministry and community, and those are great things. But we always have to be united, growing in that deep union. I encourage you, of course, this weekend, talk to the Holy Spirit. Talk to him about the things that he's teaching you and showing you. And let him bring you into that deep union with Daddy and Jesus as Lord and the Holy Spirit as your Amen.